Oh, it started. We're back with a vengeance. We're back with a victory. We're back with 3 points. Oh, does it get better than this, Fizzy?
Oh, wow. Is it the best it's been in the last month? I would say yes.
Mm.
It's a bit more like it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It should be.
Step in the right direction.
Certainly. There were positives.
Quite a few, actually. Quite a few. I was getting very worried at one point, though, I have to say, when the first goal hadn't come and Arsenal had sort of lost their dominance. I just thought, how is this going to end? I'd have to say a bit like that theme tune, you know, not well. Oh, no, not again. Yeah, but see, that means, you know, being Mystic Meg, that means if the theme tune plays twice, that means 2 wins in a row. So, but don't trust superstition.
I think the positives, there were positives to take. I think I'm happy for a start that he started nearly all of our new signings. And I think that's something that, you know, last week was a couple of weeks ago was a bit of a calamity for a number of reasons, weather inclusive. But I think, you know, the fact that he started Ramsdale, I was pleased at that. He started, obviously, the new pairing of White and Gabriel, which I have to think is going to be his go-to pairing, you know, at centre-half. The Japanese lad, Tomoyasu, I'm sorry if I say that wrong, Tomoyasu, I thought he was very good.
Mm.
And obviously he's got a combination, you know, he's got a pairing with Pepe that sort of will need time. And I think, you know, I thought he played very well, the right back. I thought he attacked well when he looked dangerous, and he won lots of headers in the air, so he's not a diminutive right back, is he?
Not at all.
I saw a stat where I think he won all of his aerial duels, like there were 7 of them, in that first half. So I was pleased with that. I was pleased with Lukonga. He just looks more and more like a player that, you know, I want to see. And let me think of who else. We had Odegaard, but Odegaard bizzed around a little bit. I wasn't massively impressed, but I thought he did all right.
He worked hard with Odegaard, so I was pleased from that perspective.
I think you could say the same for Pepe as well.
Pepe worked extremely hard. I mean, the pair of them. Yeah. His end product was a little hit and miss, but then ultimately, in effect, he set up the goal, even though the commentary I was listening to, he had Matthew Upson. Matthew Upson clearly hates Pepe because he was just continually knocking the guy, saying his first touch is not that good. And it's true, there were 2 occasions his first touch wasn't good, but a lot of times his first touch is good, I feel. And certainly, you know, on the ball, there aren't many better players in the Premier League, I don't think, than Pepe, when he's on his form, you know.
The problem with Pepe when is he on his form? I think he pushed on. I thought he did all right last season.
Yeah.
I think we have to expect big things from him this year. And we do, don't we? Because we paid 70-odd million for him.
It was a lot of money.
He's our record signing by a country mile. I think we have to start. But there's a lot of players like that. Go back to the game slightly. I thought Saka did all right. I was more happy with the sort of the defensive side of the performance, than the attacking. I thought we buzzed around and we tried very hard. I thought the energy was there.
Very much.
I thought, you know, I think the stats will show something like 25 shots, but only 3 on target. And I think that was certainly another problem yesterday, where we tried and, you know, like you said about, we had, after the first 20, 25 minutes of dominance, we still hadn't scored. And I think the players were looking a bit, you know, and I think everyone was feeling a bit like, oh, fucking hell, you know, what can we do?
Yeah, because they didn't look like they could open up Norwich at all. That was what I thought.
No, they didn't.
Just long-range efforts that were never going to trouble Krul in goal. It was Lukonga, I think, had a shot that didn't trouble him. Yeah. But it was a decent shot, but straight down the middle. And aside from that, I don't remember much. I mean, apart from lots of Arsenal possession, lots of effort, and, you know, just in the box, didn't look like anything was going to happen, I didn't think.
No, I agree. I completely agree. I think Aubameyang had a chance in the first half, which he kind of...
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, he snatched it, really. Snatched it.
Yeah, he snatched it, yeah.
A good strike, yeah, but why?
We didn't look... Like, we didn't have many chances of goal, did we?
No, not at all.
We deserved to win. I think. I don't think many people can argue that. I think we attacked, and for me, it was like we were like a boxer that won on points because we threw more punches.
That sounds about right, actually.
But yeah, if you ask yourself how many of those punches landed, not many.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
we just danced around the ring till the other guy got exhausted. But actually, it wasn't even that.
We did the Homer Simpson sort of approach to boxing. Yeah. Let him punch us until they got tired and then they fell over. Yeah. There was a little bit of that. Like, I think focus on the positive. Like, for a start, well, we should be beating Norwich any day of the week. But let's focus on the positive. We got the win.
Yeah.
Okay, we got 3 points. We got a goal. And, for me, Arteta, he's got no real excuses now. And he's said as much, hasn't he? He said, he said, this is my team now. We have to start delivering. And, he said, I think you might have said in the programme notes, or he certainly said at some point, we're building a team for the future. And you can see that with the transfer deals. You can see all of the signings that were bought, all under 25, maybe even all under 23. And aside from Aubameyang, that's a, even arguably Pepe, but that's a very young team.
Mm.
Unfortunately, Xhaka's going to continue to play. He wouldn't be in my starting midfield. I'd start, based on performances, I'd start Lokonga. And based on overall ability, I'd start Partey. It was Partey that started the move for the goal.
Well, yeah, it made a difference. It's funny. I was writing. At the time, before he came on, I mean, I did call this slightly wrong, it has to be said. But at half-time, I was starting to get quite nervous. I was nervous for the whole game, actually. But at half-time, I was extremely nervous. And I was writing, and I tried to post it, but it didn't go through because I was rushing it. But I was writing, he's got to bring Partey on. I was going to take, you'll probably disagree with this, but I would have taken Maitland-Niles off because some of his passing was pretty poor, even though he played quite well overall. He was quite busy.
No, I don't disagree with that at all. I thought the feeling I got from, it's his first game in midfield.
Mm.
And I don't even begrudge him too much the whole Instagram social media spat that he had. I think it was ill-advised.
Yeah, right.
But I can understand why he did it.
Mm.
I got the feeling, I was watching him play, I just got that feeling. It's like, you're not a midfielder.
Yeah, no, I was thinking exactly the same thing. And it's really weird.
He tries. He's got the athleticism.
Definitely.
I think he's got the athleticism to be a good fullback. And like when he played fullback against, if you think back to when we won the FA Cup season before last, he bossed. He was the big winger that Chelsea had. He was an absolute battering ram.
He
was on form.
He did well. I mean, when he played at right back, because I thought it was a bad move by Arteta, but then I had to say actually it wasn't a bad move because Arsenal won, and also Ainsley looked more comfortable at right back, if truth be told.
Yeah.
I mean, I prefer the Japanese boy because he's better in the air, but Ainsley was good at right back. He was pretty solid. Midfield, he was a bit, sometimes I thought, he's offering something, but it's not enough for me, unfortunately. But I'd take him over Shaka any day of the week, by the way. I just want to put that out there.
Yeah.
Ainsley's a million times better than Shaka. From my point of view.
Well, Maitland-Niles isn't going to get himself sent off by proving what a hard man he is.
Maitland-Niles,
he's going to be selfish and think about him. And I know for sure. Don't get me wrong. And it's interesting. I was having this chat on a WhatsApp group, and I was talking about El Nini was injured, and obviously Xhaka was suspended, and we weren't sure if the Congo was going to start. Thankfully, he did, but we weren't sure if he was going to start. So my question was, well, who else would you play in midfield? Because you've got no Partey, obviously, and Maitland-Niles was the next choice. And then you've got after that. And this is a bit of a massive long shot, but after that, you've got that new lad that's everyone's ranting and raving about. Patino or something, I'm not sure what his
name is.
He
Charlie.
Was training with
Charlie.
The first team.
Yeah.
But of course, he's a million miles away. But we are a little bit thin in midfield. And, you know, I know he likes Elneny. I'm not a big fan, but he does like Elneny. But, you know, it's, Maitland-Niles does give a different option. That much is true. So, yeah, we'll see. Like I said, I don't think he played particularly well. I wasn't that impressed. I thought he tried. I just don't think he has the technical ability to be a midfielder. I think his skill set is more suited to be in a fullback because he's very athletic.
Time will tell. It's just his passing. He can't seem to pick out a red shirt on a regular basis. It's a bit of a problem. But then I've said the same about Xhaka, and then he improved over a period of time. And you know, if he does get a run playing midfield, he may improve.
He's a different midfielder to Xhaka, isn't he? He's a different midfielder. Xhaka's main attribute for me is his passing. I think one of the many things I don't like about him is his lack of mobility.
That's terrible.
Whereas I think Maitland-Niles is more mobile.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, based on that performance from Ainsley, I would say Xhaka's a better passer of the ball. And he has improved significantly. But the reason why I got on Xhaka's case, well, I think, you know, going back in time, when he first arrived, I thought, please, we've got this guy. Looks quite decent. Then he started making all these heinous errors. Like passing to the ball, passing to the opposition in our own third. He did it so many times. And if a player does that, you know, day in, day out, I'd just axe him from the team. If it were me, I would axe him. I don't care what else he brings to the team. If he's basically scoring own goals, because in effect, that's what they are, I'd get rid of him. Because you can't afford to just give the opposition chances. Like in the Premier League, in any league, actually, I just think, it's a basic thing, and he can't seem to get it right. I think when I saw Ainsley in midfield, I was just thinking, this guy, I mean, the only thing we slightly disagree on is this, because I think he's got everything. Yeah, the passing ability doesn't seem to be there, but it might improve. I think he's got everything to be a midfielder, except one thing. His brain doesn't seem wired into being in a midfielder. But that may be because he's played in, you know, these other positions so much.
Yeah.
I'm really not sure what the reason is. But I did notice, back in the day.
I would say as well, Xhaka doesn't have the brain to.
No, he doesn't. So I'd pick Ainsley over him. Are you sure we've only got those two options? I thought there were more than, you know.
So we've got Elneny, Xhaka, Partey.
That's pretty shocking. Suddenly, I've gone from thinking Arsenal got a really huge squad to suddenly thinking it's not much of a squad.
It's not filled with quality. I think that would be a fair. I think it's filled. I don't think it's filled with. It's not in depth. Obviously, it's never going to be anywhere near City's. But you know, I don't get that feeling. It's filled with lots of great players. I think it's filled with some half decent players and some absolutely bang average players, and I'd say Elneny is one of them. Like, I've got nothing against Elneny, everyone loves him at the club, but it's like, you know, in terms of, he doesn't bring much. Like, he's very defensive minded. Like, yeah, sometimes you need that, fine, but yeah, he's a bit of a crab, isn't he? And I think, and Xhaka's a bit of a, like, Xhaka has to be told to pass the ball forward, you know? we'll see how it develops. I think, obviously, Arteta hopefully certainly saw the reaction to Maitland-Niles from the fans, because it's like, this is one of our, you know, he's one of our own sort of thing. Mm. Just still the Spurs and Harry Kane thing. He's one of our own. And he is. He's a Highlander boy. And I think that even if we all know he might not be the most talented, certainly in that midfield, I think it was, to do that, I think, was quite a desperate act. So, yeah, we'll see how things go. But, yeah, I thought he was all right. But, yeah, don't get me wrong, he didn't click. A lot of things didn't click, but they tried. And I think, you know, they accepted the fact, and Arteta accepted the fact, yeah, things have to improve. And he is judged on his results now, so it's going to be pressure for him. Obviously, Burnley next week is going to be a difficult game. It's not going to be an easy game, because they haven't started particularly well. And they've got a bit of a weird voodoo over us as well. Like,
Xhaka's performance is. He was gifting them goals. Yeah, so that's good news.
Thankfully, Xhaka's not playing. Because it was Xhaka both games last season. managed to gift him either a goal, he got sent off, lost his head.
Yeah.
He changed the game. If you remember back to the home game, we were cruising. We were absolutely cruising. And then I think we were only 1-0 up, but, well, maybe it was 0-0, I can't remember. But certainly we were in control.
Yeah, that's how I would call it.
And obviously, it was minus, it was me, look at me, I'm a big man, you know, I'm a hard man sort of thing. And then, obviously, if you you can remember the just giving them a goal, wasn't it? It's like, oh, let's hit it really hard at the Burnley player and see what happens.
That's the weirdest goal. I've never, ever seen that in my whole life. It's so weird. I remember ranting about it. I know, it was just...
Xhaka brain dead in this sort of thing. So yeah, one positive, he's not playing. And yeah, we'll see what happens. But yeah, Arteta, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if you believe the hype Arteta's got until the end of the month. And we've got a relatively easy, I'm just looking at the fixtures now, we've got a relatively easy, let's
see what I find here. It's got, is it Brighton's coming up as well? So Burnley, Spurs, yes. Brighton. That's what I can remember off the top of my head.
No, Burnley.
But well, there's AFC Wimbledon in between, probably.
Yeah, Burnley. Yeah, Burnley, Wimbledon, and then Spurs. Yeah, and then Brighton the week after, and then the international break. So yeah, that's the rumor doing the rounds, isn't it?
He's got till the international break. If he doesn't, how many games do you have to win? Because the thing is, it was going through my head with the score still 0-0, an hour had been played. I was thinking, okay, how long? Say he draws this game, he's not going to get kicked out if it's a 0-0 draw. The performance is not bad, but not great. So, how many points does he have to get, and how many wins, or you know, what's acceptable?
It's a game built on passionate.
Yeah.
I think if he doesn't beat Spurs,
oh no,
because I don't think Spurs are that great.
They're not that great. Especially if Son's not playing, then they're... I mean, I was watching Spurs against Palace. They absolutely got smashed by Patrick Vieira's boys. And did you notice the fans were singing, Vieira, whoa! Did you notice that? They're all singing.
They were singing, he's won more than you. Vieira, he's won more than you. But, yeah, honestly, I think because... Yeah, I saw a stat. It was quite an interesting stat. After the Spurs game, before the Arsenal game. If Arsenal had won by three goals, or scored three goals yesterday, they would have scored as many goals in the season so far as Spurs have.
Huh. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, so
I thought they were. I mean, if I was betting, which I don't tend to do very often, I probably would have put a bet on Spurs not getting a good result with Palace, purely because what's his name, Nuno or whatever his name is. Santa Claus, some stupid name like that. He got manager of the month, and I thought that's the kiss of death. You get manager of the month. He's lost his best player. Son's not playing. I don't know. I mean, Palace are quite difficult to play against in these local derbies, so I just didn't fancy their chances much.
Well, I think as well, you've got the whole new manager.
Yeah.
It's Vieira's first game.
One of his first. Are you still there? Seems like you may have cut out there. Oh, yeah, it seems like...
I think you've got the back. New manager.
You're back.
You've got the new manager approach. So I think, you know, Arsenal, the new manager effect, I think that's a big thing.
Definitely.
Arsenal have been undone by that many times.
Yeah.
I don't think Spurs are a particularly great team. I think, they're probably a better team than Arsenal are at the minute. That's not... But, you know, I think Arteta's got that. I think, honestly, I think he's got it to the end. Just because it's not just the results, which are a big thing, which are the biggest thing, if you ask me. But it's just the style of the performances, you know, or the, you know, how City was a shock, wasn't it? So it really was.
The thing is, when you think back in the day, I mean, this is sort of before your time, but in the 70s, I remember Arsenal getting smashed, I think, at Derby 5-0. They might have lost Stoke 5-0 at one point. They were getting smashed every now and then, but then they'd still finish quite high in the league. And the thing is, well... The other thing is, we didn't have, if these away games, unless you went to them, you wouldn't see the full 90 minutes. You'd just see the highlights. But on the highlights, it always looked like Arsenal gave a decent performance, no matter what the result was. But the Man City game was particularly shocking. I know going down to 10 men didn't help, but aside from the first 6 minutes, that was a total disaster. Brentford was, well, that was a dot on the cards. And again, that was extremely disappointing. The Chelsea one, the only thing that upset me, and I think I said it last time, so I probably shouldn't again, but I will, is that James was rampaging down the right and Arsenal couldn't do anything about it. It just, and luckily this time, Arsenal was a bit better.
They didn't react to the obvious tactical fucking flaw, a change was needed, a tactical change was needed, and Arteta waited too long to react to it until we were 2-0 down.
Yeah.
But again, that shows his inexperience, doesn't it, really, as a manager. And I think Arsenal have got to the point, or certainly Arsenal fans have got, well, we don't want you to make all your mistakes with us, you know. But what one thing that, yeah, to try and be positive about it, one thing that does fill me with a bit of confidence is the signings that we've got, even if Arteta leaves, or when Arteta leaves, be it a year from now, a month from now, whenever, whoever comes in has got a great bunch of players to work with, you know, in terms of potential. The rumour is obviously Conte, isn't it? But he's got, Arsenal are a bit, financially strong at the minute. But say Conte did come in at the end of September, obviously until he can't buy one until January, but he's got October, November, December with those players. And you think, those young players, lots of energy, willing to learn. So it's not like, it's just the performances on the pitch. I know it's massive, but we've got the players there. We've got the squad there. I'm pleased with the squad. You can't tell me that Gabriel's not going to be a good player. He just needs the right coaching. And we saw this with Arsenal, though. It's like, when everyone talks about Wenger, and certainly in the early years of Wenger's career, I felt he developed players like massively, Thierry Henry, Patrick Vieira, all of these players. But in the later years, I kind of feel like he stole a little bit on his reputation. You look at some of the players that came through, they stagnated. They didn't reach the heights that previous young players had reached before. You think, say, Walcott. You think of
Walcott. He totally wrecked Walcott. Because I saw him play for Southampton, and this guy was so fast. Never seen anyone that quick. And he scored. It was actually, I saw a cup game. It was Millwall, Southampton, and Walcott scored within about 1 minute. It was just, I've never seen anyone that quick. The only other guy, strangely enough, another Arsenal loanee, was again the same ground. I saw Rio Miyaichi, and he was incredibly fast as well. And he scored a similar sort of goal to Walcott at the Den as well, and the same sort of result. So, yeah, those two guys. But the thing with Walcott was then he was in the England squad. And the thing was, the idea was, because he was so quick, he was going to be played as a striker. And guess what? He never really got a run at striker. He played 2 or 3 games at most in a run. I don't even think it was 3. So how are you going to, it's probably a bit like the Ainsley situation. When you're playing in a new position like that, in a central position, you often need a run of games, I think, to sort of get ahead of steam going. And so Walcott, I always felt very sorry for him. I thought, the guy's not really a winger. He could be a striker. If he's played on the shoulder of the last man, he would literally get anything. This guy could catch pigeons, that's how fast he was. It's ridiculous speed, And so he was a weapon, but he wasn't used properly by Wenger. And I just couldn't understand what he was playing at. But actually, this sort of the Wenger talk, I wasn't thinking about that, but it touches on something else. I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name, but the Chelsea manager, Tuchel or whatever his name is. I have a problem with his name. I thought it sounded like a toucan last time I heard, so I went with that. Okay, the toucan guy at Chelsea, Tuchel. Well, anyway, this guy, he said, he made a remark about Arteta. He said the problem at Arsenal is Arteta got promoted to manager, and now he's not just focused on coaching. He said, look at me. All I have to do is deal with the players that I've got. I don't have to deal with transfers and agents and all the other things that a manager has to deal with. And I just wondered what your thoughts were on Wenger, because Wenger, obviously, he, over the years, he moved further and further away, it seemed, from the training ground. I mean, I'm not even sure what kind of coach he was. I think he was good at assembling teams, a bit like Bobby Robson. I spoke to an Ipswich player who actually played a lot of games for Bobby Robson for England and Ipswich. I said, what was Bobby Robson's secret? Because he was quite successful. He said he was a terrible coach. he said he was not good on the as a coach. He said he was, but he would listen to us. He'd listen to us, and he was really good at picking the right players. He'd pick a good team and let us get on with it. Basically, that's how he managed. And sometimes there's something to be said for that. And I think Wenger was similar, but I don't know, obviously, because I've not spoken to any players that knew him or know him. Sorry. But that's the impression I got, because it always seemed so chaotic, you know. Even when Arsenal were winning, I thought, oh, God, it's so chaotic. My heart's in my mouth all the time, because you never know what the score's going to be. You could be winning 4-0 and you could end up losing 5-4. You know, you just never, ever know. Whereas Arteta, I feel more secure, but, you know, but I'm not entirely happy at the moment, I have to say, even though it was a win. And I don't want to whinge and groan and everything, but here I am again. But no, actually, I felt the defence was more solid. Obviously, the results said that too. But it was just having this Ramsdale in goal. He's just so. Did you notice how he's shouting at the defenders and dominating, totally dominating that area? I felt every time the ball went in, he dropped the ball sort of once, but didn't seem to be a problem. He seemed to be totally in control of that. The whole penalty area, really, because Norwich are no mugs, and I just thought, this guy, it don't look like they're going to score, really, but I was still nervous anyway, but not as nervous as I would have been with Leno in goal, and I do like Leno, but he's gone right off the boil ever since Martinez left, he's gone off the boil, so maybe this give him a kiss, so I felt happy with that. You know, the thing that's bothering me, though, Alex, is just the lack of chances. I say Norwich are no mugs, but we should be creating proper chances against a team like that. And we didn't. And that's all that worries me, really, at this stage.
Well, I think fundamentally that's been our problem for a while, hasn't it?
Yeah. But
certainly, if you think back to the last season, and even when we were doing quite well last season, you know, you look at the stats, we had like the third best defence in the league, and we would have come third, or if the season was played after Christmas. I know it's just a bit of a silly fact, but it highlights the tale of two season of two halves.
Yeah,
that was our season. That's my concern. Like I was watching and I was a bit bored. Like it was just like. There was the odd chance, I can remember the odd chance Norwich had, and I think they flashed one across the goal at one point. But yes, I see your point, like, I didn't feel that, at no point did we look like giving away possession massively, I thought, they didn't look like scoring two great amounts. But to go back to your original thing about Tuchel, I'm going to call him Tuchel, I don't know if it's right, but I'm going to call him that.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I read The Grove. Very.
Yeah, I like that. I like that website and their podcast. Really good.
I think it is. He's very funny, but he's incredibly insightful as well. And but obviously, he does it full time. He doesn't. He does. He works full time, should I say? But he spends more sort of energy on it than me and you do on our thing, sort of thing.
Ours is so cobbled together. It's like. What plan?
But,
bit like the sort of Wenger tactic.
We offer something different to the market. But so my point is, he has raised that point about Arteta. When Arteta joined, he was just a coach, and then after the FA Cup wins, he got promoted to like full time manager, and so he's more involved in that side of things. And I think that has almost, I think that's hurt Arteta. I don't think it's helped him. Having this thing, and I think it's made this really weird power structure of the club. Like, I think the power dynamics of the club are all to fucking shit. And I think having Arteta now on the same level as Vinay and Edu, I think has created more problems than it's solved. But if you think about Wenger, it's almost like Arsenal initially went the other way, because Wenger was, towards the end, I feel like a dictator, like he was in charge of everything. Every small decision at that club went through him. And I think, you know, in the end, that possibly could have contributed to him, to Wenger's downfall, because he couldn't focus on the football. In terms of coaching, Wenger is a funny one. Like, obviously, some of the players, you know, I haven't heard anything massively against Wenger's coaching. He must have had people help him out here and there.
Yeah.
But I certainly got the feel that, with Arsenal, you never knew. Arsenal always had, it wasn't this softness, it was just this unpredictability. Even if Arsenal conceded, you could still imagine them still scoring another. You know, it was a strange sort of thing. You know, and some of the games that we remember from there, games where any normal manager would be pulling their hair out defensively.
Yeah, the thing with Wenger's coaching, I mean, the reason why I have my doubts is not because anybody said anything. I think it's when I used to watch the warm-ups, and I know it was Pat Rice who used to do the warm-ups for Arsenal. Yeah. But they were, I'd be watching, at the time I was doing quite a lot of coaching myself, so like I liked to think I knew what I was talking about. But so when I'd watch the other teams warming up, theirs would be so much more in keeping with what you know, the sort of fashion in football, if you like. You know, the fashion in football was to play like a little mini game before you play the real game, you know, not properly, but, you know, to sort of at least go through the motions. And Arsenal weren't doing that. Nearly all the other teams that I saw were doing it. And I found that really strange. So I thought, it seems like suddenly Arsenal had gone from being quite a modern team, you know, because it was Wenger who brought in creatine and all those new sort of made it a science, really. But I think Wenger brought in, from what I can gather, what Wenger was very good at was, the appliance of science, you know, like you will train for 1 minute. What? We want to do 10. No, 1 minute. And he was very, very strict like that. And he was good with the creatine because he extended the careers of Adams and Bold and quite a few other players, even Ian Wright, I think. So quite a few players had extended careers because of the science that he brought in, and no one else was doing it at the time. So there was that, and also psychology, because I think Wenger is pretty strong on that, pretty strong on psychology. But as far as tactics are concerned, my guess is he wasn't, well, you know, when you saw his substitutions, it was regular as clockwork. Like, that's why Arshavin got bombed out, because he said, I will only play on the 70th minute because that's the minute when Wenger does his substitutions. And he was bombed out after that. And he was just so, you know, so predictable. I don't think his teams were predictable, but he was predictable tactically, I thought, whereas Arteta isn't, you know. But that's not necessarily a good thing, because we've seen the players, and we've had indications that the players don't really know what they're doing. They've said this before, though, under the previous manager. So sometimes I start thinking it's the players who are at fault, not the manager, especially Arteta, who seems like a really good communicator. So how is it he can't get his message across? And the other thing I wanted to ask you about, though, is this. Did you read reports of a toxic dressing room? No names were mentioned, but before the Norwich game, that was a couple of websites, I think a newspaper reported there's a toxic atmosphere in the dressing room. And the reason why Arsenal are not doing well is largely down to that. So any thoughts on that? I think you may have disappeared, though. So so I could be doing this by myself, unless you call back in a minute. Or maybe, here we go. Yes. So, I was saying, Alex, about I was talking about a toxic dressing room. Yeah. Right, hang on, let me get you on speaker, because. All right, hold up. I've got to get you on speaker. Sorry, you're not on speaker at the moment. Okay, you are now. So, a toxic dressing room. What are your thoughts?
Yeah,
is it true?
It's interesting. There has to be, if you think about it like this, these players, I don't think even Xhaka, who we all hate, me and you hate anyway.
Yeah, I can't say I don't, really. Lately.
Yeah, I think fundamentally, he wants to be successful. I think he wants to be part of a team that wins trophies and does the business, right?
Mm.
So I think they all want to do well. Very few players, in my opinion, are there just to collect a paycheck. I think if they're at a club where they go, oh, I might leave at the end of the year, I'm going to ride out this year and collect my paycheck, I think that's different than purposely going to a club just to collect a paycheck. So if we have to assume that all of these players care and they want to win and they want to be successful,
yeah, that's small.
I think that's fair, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. That's a complaint of a lot of fans in, not just at Arsenal, other clubs. And I've always maintained, I said, have you ever met a professional footballer who doesn't care about his job? And I've met quite a few. And my feeling is, sometimes they party. Sometimes they do things they probably shouldn't do. But then that applies to everybody. And I said, they're just as professional as anybody else, seriously. And I just get mad. You know what really riles me is when they say, oh, they're not trying. That's just nonsense.
Yeah.
That's nonsense.
Yeah, no, exactly.
It's very rare.
I can't support that.
Yeah.
I just can't support that because I've never met, very rarely do I meet professionals in any work environment. Forget football for 1 second.
Yeah.
Any work environment that don't try. Now, you tell me about going out and drinking and partying. Yeah, for sure. There are different expectations of being a footballer than there are of, say, being a teacher or a lawyer or whatever, right? And sometimes they fail to meet these expectations. But again, it's not through malice it's just through poor decision-making. We've talked about Maitland-Niles when it comes to poor decision-making. So, it happens. But when it comes to a toxic atmosphere, you have to think that these players, the majority of these players anyway, have managed to get rid of Wenger. They got rid of Emery. And if they wanted to, and I'm not even sure that they don't, they could get rid of Arteta. So the idea that they're all fighting with themselves, I don't know, it doesn't surprise me too much because I don't think we're a club at the minute that is in a place where we want to be. So if it's toxic, if it's toxic towards Arteta, that's one thing. If it's toxic with each other, then you have to say, right, okay, who are the players that we want to keep and get rid of everyone else? And you being toxic almost lends itself to us. You've given us an opportunity to get rid of you. We hear all the time about Xhaka. Supposedly he's well liked among the club. But
we always hear
you're a professional.
Yeah.
If you're a professional and you see him do that fucking brain dead tackle that he did against City, how can you honestly go, yeah, that's fine? Are you telling me Aubameyang, not for 1 second, just went, for fuck's sake, why did you do that? You know what I mean? I can't subscribe to that. I can't, these are professional players. These are the best of their game. They do want to win things, right? They do want to be successful. And so, and of course, we've all played the game. When, there's always arguments on football pitches, always arguments. Even amongst friends, and especially sometimes amongst friends, I've played in games, I've played against teams that I've been, not so much luckily been with teams, but I certainly played against teams where they're arguing with each other, and you just go, this is brilliant, this is fantastic that they're arguing with each other as the opposition. This is fantastic that they're arguing with each other because they're not focused on the game, they're not focused on turning it around or whatever. So I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't honestly be surprised. Whether they get rid of the right players. I think there was certainly with Kolasinac. Kolasinac is there still. I can't imagine he. I'm trying not to be libelous, but I can't imagine he's exactly over the moon about being frozen out.
Yeah.
And obviously, he was busy mates with Ozil.
That don't help. Did you see Ozil's tweet after the City game? I was absolutely spitting feathers after that. What is it? Believe in the process. Now, I know it could be taken. Yeah, it could be taken two ways, because some of the press said, oh, he's supporting Arsenal from a distance. And I thought, no, he's actually having a laugh at Arsenal's expense.
I'm the same as you. I took it like that. I took it as him taking this. And it's just classless.
Yeah.
But this is the same proposal that, you know, paid for Gunnosaurus's vex, his wages or whatever.
Yeah, it's yeah.
Fucking PR stunt, you know. He's just classless. You know, but footballers can be like that. You know, yeah, we have to remember most footballers are morons. You know, in terms of, you know, they don't stay at school long and, yeah, you know, whatever else. Some are intelligent, but yeah, the majority of fucking idiots. And as well, you know, I could put shit on social media and nobody cares. He does it, he gets a million or, you know, half 5 million, whatever, views. So, you know, he knows that, of course. I just thought it was classless, but you know, it just reminded me of like a bitter ex player, you know, and, I remember when Koscielny left.
Yeah.
And he did, you know, he took off the shirt and he revealed his new shirt. And I just went, you know, you were a good to average defender for 10 years. Drogba used to bully you. Other players used to bully you. You weren't as good as you think you were. And you've done that. And, you know, let's get it right. You were never an Arsenal great. But you've done that, and it just shows me what sort of person you are, really.
He wanted out, and Arsenal didn't want to let him go.
And I think Arsenal fucked him over a little bit. But yeah, that's just going out the fans almost. It's like you basically saying go fuck yourself to the fans. The fans didn't do anything. The fans didn't kick him against his will or anything like that. So. Yeah, I just thought it's been classless. I didn't say Rose, I just thought it was classless. But, you know, what's he done in Turkey since he's been there? You know, how's his career going now? You know, we got rid of him. And you just kind of think the fact that he has to make that comment says to me that he's not getting everything he wants in Turkey. Like, hasn't he played something stupid like one game or he scored one goal? Or,
yeah, he's managed
really,
one.
Really
one goal.
Shit stats, yeah. And you just go, oh yeah, so how's your career going? You know, you want to take the piss out of us. I think Arteta has rubbed a lot of people up the wrong way. And, yeah, we talked about the whole Tavares playing at right back against Bournemouth thing, which was just a bit of a fuck you to Bellerin. So, you know, his management skills do leave a little bit to be desired. But, I just thought it was classless. But,
he reminds me a lot of George Graham, Arteta. That's probably why I like Arteta so much. But as long as he can win as much as George Graham, I'll be quite pleased with that.
Yeah, there we go.
It seems a long way off.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care if he makes the players cry on a daily basis. If we're winning trophies, he can do what he wants. You know, I think that's the rationale that most fans have. It's like, how you run it is on you. You're judged by your results at the minute. And, you know, performances to a certain extent, but George Graham's performances, 1-0 to the Arsenal, very, very sort of.
They were pretty dire performances under George Graham, but I liked them because they were mostly winning performances when trophies were coming. And I felt the same. I felt with Arteta coming in, I thought this guy's going to be similar because he weren't quite a stroller on the pitch, but, you know, he was one of those midfielders, thinking man's midfielder, really, Arteta.
Yeah.
Never made mistakes. No, never. I never saw him make a dramatic error, really, never. He was, when he played, so solid. This guy was so solid. Iron nerve, you know, if there was a penalty, he was going to score it. He would definitely score. I don't remember him missing. He may have missed one, but I don't remember it. And I just trusted this guy so much. And I was so pleased when he came to Arsenal as a footballer. And then I was pleased when he came as a manager. And I'm still, I'm like you said last time, I'm just at the moment, it's like the jury's out again on him because after the cup win, that extended the honeymoon. But the honeymoon seems well and truly over now.
Managed to lose a lot of that goodwill with last season. the insistence of playing Willian.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know.
And you could argue Pepe has got every right to be annoyed because Pepe's development was stunted by this, that insistence of playing fucking Willian. So, yeah, just the performances, the results. Yeah, there's a lot of things wrong with the team. I said, and you know, a lot of people wanted Arteta out last season.
Yeah, I wasn't in that group. I thought he'll be fine. He'll definitely be fine. But yeah, he just well because you know also it was a semi final of the Europa League, which was a lot of teams had to be put to the sword to get to that stage. Trouble was losing to Villarreal, the eventual winners. Again, it was the manner of it. It was the manner. It didn't feel good. It's never going to feel good losing the semi-final. But if you're unlucky, it doesn't feel that bad. But Villarreal were the better team, both legs. So it just felt so disappointing to lose to Villarreal. They're not a big team.
Yeah.
Sorry to say that to them. Well. Oh, yeah. And that too, and that made it even worse. And then I thought, oh, God, what happened? What I thought Arteta's going to win. I think I predicted Arteta was going to win the Europa League. I didn't say they were going to do much in the league, but I certainly thought he'd win the Europa. I thought he would. I really, really thought he would. And I said so right at the start. So maybe that's why I felt so disappointed about it. But yeah, I found that very hard to take. And then the form, yeah, in the league was a bit better at the end of the season. And then I thought, when I saw the matches, the opening games, well, you called it exactly right. You said 0 points. Goal difference of minus 11, where you were two out.
Yeah.
And I didn't say enough at 1 point. I think we'll get a draw against Brentford. I don't think we'll lose, but we will certainly lose to Chelsea. And I didn't have this idea of a massive goal difference like what Arsenal have got now. I just didn't see that. I just couldn't imagine it. So I honestly thought at this stage, Arsenal would have at least 1 point, because I know I'm a bit pessimistic. So I thought they'd have at least 1 point. And I look at the fixture list, and it's really weird that after beating Norwich, the mighty Norwich, I'm not looking ahead and seeing lots of 3 points ahead. I just don't see it. And why am I so pessimistic when the right back kind of had a blinder, really, the Japanese boy. He did very well, I thought. What's his name? Takahiro Tomiyasu. I was very impressed with him. And I wasn't expecting to be impressed because I thought he's going to take time to settle. And I thought, feels like he's been here for ages. You know, the guy he was everywhere.
Well, as I said, I think the one shining light that we have as a club at the minute is the squad, or at least anyone with half a brain. So if Quantity comes in, you look at those players, and the majority of them are under 23. You know, we had Martinelli on the bench. We had Smith Rowe on the bench, Partey on the bench, and of course, I would probably start in Partey. I'm curious as to why he didn't, but nevertheless, we have a lot of young, good players that just need the right coaching, and they can become very good players, just like Saka did.
I think the tactics were.
No. Getting closer and closer.
He's been, to me, Saka's been a little disappointing this season, but I don't want to knock him because he's playing so many games, this guy. You know, he's got his international games. I think he's looking a little bit jaded.
And as well, he's young. And I think, let's just say, he has a good game. He had a good season last season.
Excellent season. And I'm a big fan.
They're going to start to identify him more as a threat. They're going to respect him.
Yeah, and he gets kicked a lot. Look how many fouls he drew from the opposition. They were just all over him like a rash, you know. They were constantly kicking him, which probably was nice for Alba. I don't know how to say his name, Alba, but that guy. You know, it's nice for him because he must be getting kicked left, right and centre. And then Saka comes on. You must see, with him in the team, he's getting kicked more than I am. You know, and that must be unusual for a striker.
He needs to adapt his game.
Yeah.
Because now people start to analyse him a lot more. People start to give him the respect he deserves.
Yeah, he does deserve it.
But now he has to change his game to sort of, be one step ahead of them still. You know, if you want to be a true great, look at something like Ronaldo, constantly evolving, constantly adapting. You wouldn't think, when Ronaldo left for Real Madrid, he was not a number nine. Now he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can play. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's changed his game.
Yeah, he's adapted.
He's adapted. I think all great players do that. All great managers do that as well. And that, for me, is the difference between Ferguson and Wenger, is Ferguson adapted throughout the years. But
Yeah, I agree with that.
Saka has to do that. But yeah, it's going to be hard, isn't it? Yeah, it's that awkward second season, isn't it, really? But hopefully he can. You know, he's got, you know, he's just turned 20, I think, this year. So, just recently. So,
yeah, that's right.
That's the one thing that I'm holding on to, is we've got a lot of these players that, you know, are young, and with the right coach, the right guidance, can do great things.
So, talking of adaptation, do you think Alba will adapt to being a different sort of striker? He still looks quick. There was one point in the game where a long ball went forward and he turned it into a good ball, and he looked like he had the beating of the defence. Didn't quite make it though. Well, actually, it was more than once. So he did sort of stretch his legs a bit in that game, because maybe some of the passing to him didn't seem that good, to be honest, until Partey came on, and then things started clicking a little bit more. But do you think Alba's going to have to adapt his game because he's getting older? I mean, just based on that game, I'm saying maybe he doesn't have to, but maybe he does long term, I'm thinking, because he has got two more years to go at Arsenal, at least.
He has got 2 more years to go, yeah, that's true. I think so. Well, I wasn't sure if he could play as a striker.
Mm.
You know, I'm still not convinced he's as good as a striker. I don't think we have anyone else. I think he will be our striker this year. Which I feel sorry for Lacazette. I think Lacazette is a better fit into the system that Arteta wants to play. But I think Lacazette can hold the ball up better.
He can.
He's going to have to. And I think striker is the only position where we don't have youth. So we do have youth. Like, I'm aware of Nketiah. I'm aware of Balogun. But we don't have youth that's, you know, not
dependable.
Dependable, exactly. They're very poor.
Yeah.
You know, in most other positions, you know, they've played a couple of seasons. Like, Gabriel's played a season, you know. Tomasu, the new lad, he's played a few seasons in Serie A. Do you know what I mean? Like, they've had, you know, Balogun hasn't had any game time. Nketiah hasn't had really much game time. And the game time he did have, arguably, I don't think he impressed many people. So, I think Aubameyang is safe in that position for the year. Like, I don't think he's at risk to lose that, unless, you know, he decides to play Arteta. Lacazette. I don't think he will. I don't think he will drop Aubameyang. We're kind of hoping on Aubameyang to get back to that form, really. And yeah, time will tell. But I think that's our weakness at the minute, our inability to score goals.
Yeah, I was wondering if Aubameyang's going to turn into a sniffer, because after that goal, I mean, it's just I'm taking a lot of information from that one goal in the four games. You know, that I thought it's a good sign if your striker's getting the tap-ins, because that's something that he didn't used to do very often. I thought most of his goals were quite spectacular, and so it was a different sort of goal. How many scrappy goals has he ever scored? I don't remember too many. I reckon he's probably scored a few, but not the majority of his goals are cutting in from the left and just curling it around the keeper. That's his trademark goal, really. The sort of goal he scored one in the cup final, didn't he? Like that. When he cut in.
Yeah.
And that kind of goal, he's scored plenty like that. But this was the sort of goal that I wouldn't expect him to score, really, because all of his goals are very good goals, you know, and a pleasure to watch. Well, they're always a pleasure to watch if Arsenal score. I don't care how it goes in. Oh, did you? I don't know what commentary you was listening to. Matthew Upson, the summariser, he was saying, oh, I think that's offside. And I was thinking, what are you talking about? It's come off the post. He's going, no, Alba was offside. He was offside. It can't be offside. The ball's coming back off the post. The amount of people that don't seem to know that rule. He was offside at one point during the play, actually. He was offside. But the thing is, then the ball hit the post and he hadn't been ruled offside at that point. So when it came back, he's not offside. So I just didn't really understand. I think, you know, it was very complicated because the ball was going around like a pinball, wasn't it? Sort of ricocheting. Yeah, I was worried about it, but I thought it shouldn't be offside. I don't think so. I was getting mad with Matthew Upson anyway. I like Matthew Upson a lot, actually. Got to say that. I've never met him, but I've been in a press conference with him once, and he's very articulate. He was at Reading at the time, and he was. I was really impressed with Upson. I liked him as a footballer too. I think he was out on loan at Reading, so he was an Arsenal player because Reading's sort of not so far from you, is it, or where you used to be? But he was a good footballer, no question. I remember Arsenal got him from Luton, if I remember correctly, about 1.5 mil or something. And he didn't play enough games for Arsenal. He was a class act, I thought. And he is, you know, he's a very articulate guy, very, very, very switched on. So I was shocked that he was saying those things. So I was pretty upset. Did you think he was offside, though, at the time?
I wasn't sure. Like, yeah. I have to admit, the commentary, I was watching it on an American feed.
Yeah.
I thought, I was trying to work out what was going on. It was quite a lot of information to take in, wasn't it, really?
Yeah,
I think, like you say, I don't know. Honestly, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm happy the goal was given because I don't think we would have scored. But yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe we deserved a little bit of luck. Certainly, I thought we played well enough, you know, to sort of justify it a bit. But no, I wasn't entirely sure. I Americans.
Yeah. Yeah, I got mad because I remember once I had a goal disallowed for the same reason. I mean, it wasn't ricocheting around like that, but I remember the ball came off the post on a crossbar and I actually headed it in, which I scored about two headers in my life and that was one of them. And it got chalked off and it was a proper game, you know, it was a Hong Kong division game, you know, where semi-pro, and I was going mad, you know, I was going, that's my only headed goal. It's the only one I'm ever going to register. What are you doing? And he said, shut up or I'll book you. And I said, no, it's a goal because, look, it came off the crossbar and I headed it in. And he said, yeah, but you're in an offside position. There was no defender in front of you. I said, look, it's just come, it's moving the opposite way. And I said, you don't know the rules. He said, right, that's it. You're going to get a yellow card. And luckily I shut up at that point. And then a few weeks later, I got my first yellow and then the second one followed very shortly and then a red. Yeah, so yeah, I started getting in trouble after that because the refs just didn't know the rules. I mean, they're all kitted up nicely, but I think luckily for Arsenal, I think they obviously did know the rules. But I was so worried about the referees that had been appointed for that game because they are known to be Arsenal haters, right?
Because
the guy in the studio, was it? I forgot his name. Mike Dean, I think it was Mike Dean, and then who was refereeing? Whoever that was, every time he refereed the Brentford game, and he let Brentford beat the hell out of Arsenal. But maybe I'm wondering if it was because of the crowd, he started giving Arsenal free kicks.
Yeah, it could have been. Well, the crowd makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
The crowd makes a massive difference.
So, because against Brentford, he gave Arsenal nothing at all. You know, obviously there was the wrestling thing with Leno, and I wonder as well. Like the thing I like about Ramsdale, just going back to him for a moment, is I don't think too many players are going to want to wrestle Ramsdale because he looks a bit tougher than Leno to me, and he just exudes confidence. I mean, based on that, he does. He does look like you wouldn't want to have a fight in the pub with him, really, would you? You just wouldn't. I personally, I think I would. I don't know. I'm not sure I'd run away terrified, but maybe I would. Maybe I would run away terrified. If Leno said, I will take you and I will beat you up, I probably wouldn't be quite as scared. I don't think so. It's hard to say because a goalkeeper has to be relatively tough. Like Lehmann was nuts. He was just nuts, right? And so...
Yeah.
People didn't Although I remember a game where the Spurs players were stepping on his toes. I was at that game. It was the game when Arsenal won the league at White Hart Lane. And who was it stepping on his toes? I forget who it was. Might have been Robbie Keane or somebody. I forget who it was. Yeah, and he was stepping on Lehmann's toes, and it all was going so pear-shaped very quickly, but not pear-shaped enough for Arsenal not to win the league. So that was a good experience. But yeah, it's nice to have a goalkeeper who commands a box. It's based on these three games now, three clean sheets, right? There was West Brom, 5-0. There was Brentford behind closed doors, 4-0. And now, then 1-0. 1-0 to the Arsenal. So, right, we got anything else to say? We just hit the... Even the on-air number says 1-0. It says we've been talking for 1 hour and nil minutes. So it's 1-0. So, yeah, right. We'll be... Yeah, I think so. So we'll hit the music. And I'm not sure when we're going to be back, but depends if we win or lose the next game. Maybe. I don't know. But if we've had a few people, we've had people entering the studio. Can you believe it? Paulski entered. I can't even say the name of this person, so apologies. Trisha Chowdhury, something. It's a bit of a long name, so apologies if I didn't get it right. And Mr. Vino. So hope you enjoyed what you heard, and hopefully there's going to be lots more to come, because the more Arsenal wins, the more often we subject our listeners to this kind of thing. So until the next time, adios, amigos.